Welcome to the Social Expedition. Produced by LunaWeb, this is show number 10, coming to you on December 9th, 2009. Saying show number 10, it's like, wow. I had not realized that we were on number 10 already. But
I should have gotten you a gift. I feel bad. Is the 10th anniversary the gold, or is that, are we still on paper? I don't know, but.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
As far as the material.
No. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the verbal thank you anniversary. So congratulations on our 10th show.
Yeah. Hey, we should get a new microphone.
We should.
Yeah. First, we all kind of cuddled around two here.
It's so warm and friendly, you know? I think it's a good thing.
Well, the weather outside is frightful.
I think it makes Matthew's job a little harder on the editing side of things, you know?
But I live to make Matthew's life harder, so I think it's okay with me.
It's okay. I live to make my own life difficult.
Well, so, you know, here we are, you know, kind of wrapping up the year, and, you know, it was a couple shows ago we were talking about how Google wasn't going to mess around with what they had going on until after the holidays.
Right.
And I kind of wonder now with some of the stuff that they're doing, like this new real-time search thing, if maybe they consider the holidays ended after Cyber Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe for Google, it's like, okay, holidays are over now. And so now we're releasing our new stuff that they said previously they would not be putting out there until after the holidays. They just can't help themselves.
Just get a little extra year. Want to put a little something extra in our stockings.
Yeah, they wanted to open their Christmas presents before Christmas morning. And so they did.
Or maybe that's for us, the people. You know, because it's definitely not for, I think, the business owners. This new thing they have going on called real-time search. Is that what they call it, or
caffeine? Is that the name of it?
No, caffeine. See, caffeine is another thing altogether yet. No, this is this real-time search that's going on.
I've seen it called Real Search. I've seen it called Live Search, a couple of different things. I'm not sure what their official title is.
Yeah, so somehow, maybe it's because I'm in part of the labs, I can see this new search functionality when I search for something on Google. And what happens is, right at the top of the page, this is not like, you know, they're sticking it at the bottom, at least for today. You know, tomorrow could be a different story. But for today, when you search for something, it'll show, like, the two recent tweets that match your search criteria and or Facebook updates at the top of the page. So it kind of pushes your normal SEO, what have been your traditional SEO results, down. In fact, some things now under the fold. And so no doubt people are going to be scrambling, you know, on that to try and get back above the fold, or to figure out, okay, how can their tweets about their business using their keywords appear at the top of the page? Yeah, everybody wants that top spot. And so we'll see a lot more of people trying to work that angle to come up higher in the Google search results with that. So that's everything going on now.
not for everybody just well, yet.
Right.
That's some of us are unlucky and do not have access to it.
Yeah. Well, okay, so where we all are lucky today is we're all lucky Facebook privacy setting.
Yay! You know, thanks, Santa. <Yeah. laughs>
So today, when you log into Facebook, you'll be asked to review your privacy settings. And that's the result of Mark Zuckerberg's announcement, I don't know, was it a week ago maybe, or 2 weeks, about the privacy settings there, where they would do away with some of the network settings on there. And so, amen to that. We will be putting together a video a screencast that'll be on LunaWeb's Facebook page over at facebook.lunaweb.com, showing you how to set these up. We actually got stumped in trying to do the screencast before, when they had the networks in there, and it was so difficult on how to explain to somebody to do this with this this layer of networks. We were trying to use Venn diagrams and everything else. Is very confusing. So I'm so glad to see that they have done away with that setting there, making it a lot easier for people to create the privacy settings on Facebook and understanding what they did. Because before, on a number of occasions, we knew of people who had thought they had made things private and they were actually still visible to their network. So their friends maybe didn't see things, or but
it
people
was,
in the network
were. It was previously really confusing because, you know, essentially you had two places to choose. You had a place where you could say, okay, photos viewed by, you could select only your friends, but then little did you know that underneath that, in something totally different, not in a drop-down menu, it would say like your network name. Mm-hmm. And oh, actually that means that your whole network can see it, not only your friends. So the whole thing was such a contradictory process, and so I'm just really glad to see that they're doing something to streamline that and make it better.
And around here, that network was primarily the Memphis network.
And that's a huge network of people that you may not know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of these was actually a client who had some college partying pictures up there who thought he'd made them very private, and we could see them. So it kind of gave him, let him know that, hey, that these, you probably don't know it, but I can see these photos. And interestingly enough, the guy's first comment was, well, I'm surprised I still have my job.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's just college guys just going crazy in the dorm kind of thing. Anyway, so that's a good thing. So that's good stuff happening there for Facebook. The bad stuff probably in this whole connection here is that it's going to be tough for businesses to get in there and try not to be lured into posting things in Facebook that are going to up their rankings over there on Google without getting spammy and creating a lot of noise out there.
Yeah. That's probably going to prove pretty difficult to figure out for a while for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a big risk that the business, you know, can take if they want to. You know, you're risking your fans, really. Mm-hmm. Because if you post too much, I'm going to hide you or not be your fan anymore.
Right.
And then the value that you got out of Facebook is maybe compromised a little bit because I'm not looking at your messages anymore. So.
And if you... In both cases, if you are hidden, if you hide somebody, or you hide a business, or you unfan them, there's ways to get that back. But it's like being deleted, like eradicated. You know, you're just gone.
You are disappeared, as the term once was.
yeah, erased. Was there a movie or something about that, right?
Yeah.
You know, in the whole digital realm, somebody was erased and it was almost like they didn't exist anymore. But with that, if somebody decides to hide you on Facebook, hide your business, you're so far off the radar. And yes, it is recoverable, but maybe through some extreme means. So you definitely don't want to do that. It's nothing you can go, oops, I went too far, let me back up and apologize for that. I'm sorry. You can apologize, but they just won't even hear you anymore. So, yeah, lots of new stuff. That's why I love what's going on here. In that, you know, as we try and figure out how to use these things, these tools in society, but at the same time, as more and more people migrate to these areas, businesses follow. And those people don't always want those businesses there chasing after them. Anyway, it's kind of like a cat and mouse deal. Always interesting. So speaking of that, you know, where are things coming along in next year, 2010? Going to have a hard time getting used to saying that. And whatever variant you call it. Our upcoming Core Conversations shows are...
They are focusing on what's next. So this Friday, it's kind of a two-part series. This Friday, we're going to be talking about predictions that we made for 2009. So, and really how those predictions have panned out. So we've been kind of scouring the blogosphere, looking for bloggers who made predictions back in the end of 08 or January of this year about what this year would hold for social media. And we've invited a lot of them to come on the show. And we definitely have one who I know is going to be joining us. But if that's you, if you're a blogger who made predictions, you definitely want you to be a part. But of course, everyone is invited to call in and be part of the show. And you can find out information about it at socialexpedition.com. And then next Friday, the second part of the series will focus on our predictions for 2010. So we're going to look back and then we'll look forward. So it should be really interesting.
There's plenty of predictions we see already out there. In fact, I've seen so many at one point I decided, well, I missed the boat for 2010. I'm going to get my 2011 predictions out there. But that's absolutely impossible. I have totally no idea what's going to be going on in 2011.
Right. All I know is, where's my hover car? If it gets to be 2011 and I am not in a hover car, then someone has some explaining to do.
I'm sorry, I'll bring it back to you tonight.
I was promised a hover car and a condo on the moon.
on the moon.
Yes.
That's where LunaWeb, you know,
absolutely. Our offices are moving to the moon.
So. We'll be commuting. Well, no, we'll
live there as well.
Birthing will be included.
Sure.
Okay. So with that, you know, the big news obviously is the real-time search with Google, the privacy settings with Facebook. In fact, earlier we were looking at Mashable, and they were talking about it's Facebook Privacy Day. Getting into that. So with that, coming up here, we have got our segment where Sean Danko of Cookie Canuck visited us earlier.
I'm ready whenever you guys are.
This week's guest is Sean Danko of Cookie Canuck. Welcome to the Social Expedition.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
All right.
Glad to have you out here. We had hoped to run into you more at one of those, is it a social camp or bar camp that you guys were so gracious to sponsor?
Right.
But I know you yourself were out of town.
I know. I was so disappointed I missed that one. That was a good one.
We enjoyed your sandwiches, though.
Well, thank you. I should have brought the big burger today, shouldn't I? That was very disappointing of me.
How much does that thing actually weigh when it's, you know?
7.5 pounds.
Okay, so
4 pounds of meat, mm-hmm. 2 pounds of bun, and then 1.5 pounds of lettuce, tomato, cheese, onions, pickles.
Nice. So that's like a full salad. I mean, that's a health.
It's a small
food,
baby.
Really, you know. I feel like that's good for your diet.
I debated tackling one of those at the roller derby state championships. I just did not have the nerve to try.
It put a hurt on you. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
If you're not ready for it, it hurts.
And that's called the cucamonga.
The cucamonga.
You know, I grew up, my grandmother used to use that name. Cucamonga, you know, but referred to it kind of as a far-off place, kind of like Timbuktu.
Sure.
And then I found out later on there's actually a Rancho Cucamonga in California.
No
true.
Kidding.
Yeah.
We used to use it. That came up for my sister and I as kids, and we used to say cucamonga phobia a la chicken feet all the time. So, I know, really random. So I took the cucamonga phobia, broke it down to cucamonga. Now, if you eat the cucamonga, great. If you're afraid of it, you have cucamonga phobia.
Oh,
and if you and if you run away from it, you have cucamonga phobia a la chicken feet.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Really random, I know.
I saw somewhere in one of the updates, I forget if it was Twitter or Facebook, I saw the cucamonga phobia. It was all in all caps. It caught my eye. It was one of those. I didn't quite delve into it, so I missed it.
You didn't have a full appreciation the way you do now.
Right.
Right.
Well, I put
right.
that on the back of the staff shirts, too. I have all the back of the staff shirts say, do you have cucamonga phobia?
Okay.
That's awesome.
Little goat.
And how big is the staff?
55 people. Yeah. Between managers, back of house, kitchen staff, front of house, servers, bartenders, and hosts all together.
And this is not, this is not for 24 hours a day. This is 55 people working pretty much, what is it, 11 to a little after midnight or something? Or?
Operation hours are 11 till 2:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah. 18 hours a day, roughly.
Now, when you guys serve alcohol?
We do, full bar.
I see, you know, looking at what's going on Facebook, you've got some fantastic pricing going on. Especially with the beers.
Well, $3.99 for a 34-ounce Bud Light, which is a popular deal.
Mm-hmm.
All day, every day.
That is my ticket to the floor. That is not a good idea.
Everybody always asks, what's happy hour? I said, I have happy hour 7 days a week from open to close. $3.99 for a 34-ounce beer, $5.99 for a 12-ounce glass of wine, and 34-ounce cocktails, $9.99.
And you're out there. All over the place in the social realm. I'm just kind of wondering, talking about 2:30 in the morning. Did you guys have any special things going on when they had the when we fell back when we adjusted the daylight savings time? Because at 2:00, now all of a sudden it becomes 1:00.
Right,
we have an extra hour's worth of beverage.
Correct, and we just keep going.
Yeah,
we just keep going. Both the fall back and the fall forward, spring back. Whatever the hell that is.
Yeah. I'm a totally ADD with the topics here. But you're from Canada.
Correct. Montreal.
This is where the Canuck thing comes in.
Correct. That's how I got to be a Canuck, and I was always kooky, so they go together.
Now, in Montreal, they do a lot of, they speak a lot of French there.
Predominantly so, French. Know. Yes. French is the...
Tu parles français?
Oui, je parle français aussi. Sérieux. Eh, c'est bizarre. Petit peu. French is the language of business in Montreal, or in Quebec, in the province of Quebec. The French language is first.
And I think a lot of people say it's North America's only European city. I think I hear that
it's got a European feel because, the French language is so dominant. The signs are all in French. It does have a uniquely different feel compared to the rest of North America.
So what happened up there? I mean, was it too cold and you had to, come on down? Or
I love being in the South. It is great. I don't own a shovel. I don't own an ice chipper. I don't need to plug my car in. It's great. Love it. Don't miss the snow at all.
Because you've been in the food service industry or the restaurateur, restaurant business. What's the proper name for that? What would you call that? Isn't that...
A restaurateur. I say with an N, but there's no official N in that word. I say restaurateur, but it's actually spelt without an N.
Oh, okay.
It's the weirdest word. I don't know how they ever got it. It's really odd. But I was with Hard Rock for 13 years prior, Hard Rock Cafe, prior to opening up our business. And then before that, my uncle owned a bar and restaurant. My dad was in the cafe business. So I've always been around it. And it's funny, going through at the end of high school, you have this idea of I have to do something different with my life. I have to do these grander things other than being in the restaurant business. So I did packaging and product design through university. And then I decided that sitting in front of a computer for 20 hours a day was really not where it was at. So I went back to the restaurant business.
And so now you know... You're out there with the social media.
Now I sit in front of the computer for 20 hours a day doing social media. How funny is that?
So how did you get into this? How did you get into this whole social thing?
Yeah. I started out. A friend of mine was in the hospital over a year ago, and we got in the social network trying to talk to people that knew him and get people together and really kind of create a sense of family for him because everybody couldn't get together. And it just evolved out of that. And I'd already started the Bigfoot site on Facebook, but never really pushed hard with it. And then just over a year ago now, then it all kind of made sense to me. And I really dug deep into it.
You know, okay. So you had your toe in the water, and then you submersed because of a friend.
Correct.
And if I may, this is a small world. This is a friend involved in a vehicular accident.
Yes.
Motorcycle.
No.
Okay.
No. Car.
Car. Okay. there is a social media consultant, I think from Louisiana, and she makes her way up here from time to time, and we sat down and talked for a while, and I think she's
Caroline Berry.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Caroline Berry, yes, and Caroline.
Wait a minute. I know a Caroline Berry in Louisiana.
Wait, do you went to school?
From Monroe?
I'm dead serious, absolutely.
Red hair?
She's to vote. Wait, no red hair. No red hair. I think we're safe. I was about to get really scared. But seriously, I do know a Caroline Berry in Louisiana.
Oh, okay.
And yes, Caroline Berry, and that was all during that time that Caroline came in, and she got me hooked on the Twitter side.
Oh, good.
Yeah. She's a very small world.
I was just looking at her profile the other day, and it looks like she's still doing great things out there in the social realm.
She is. Yeah.
So you got into Facebook and then also on Twitter, and I guess there's no formal training, but I mean, it seems like it's a great match for you. You get it. You understand how to use these tools.
Well, if you can interact well with people in public, in person, the social media side is a no-brainer extension of that. Mm-hmm. It really is. If you have trouble interacting with people in real life, then you're going to have trouble on the social media side as well. Mm-hmm. But no, it was no-brainer. I love posting pictures. I love taking pictures. So that's a great part of it. And it's great connecting with people that you don't necessarily see every day, so you can always stay in touch.
So on the picture side, I mean, I guess that's one of the reasons they call it Facebook. You know, people at the restaurant have photos of them having a good time. You know, I grew up, I'm 45, and I grew up, my family would go out, and somebody would come by and take a photo right when the meal's getting started. And by the time we were ready to leave, somebody had 8x10 black and white glossies of the family sitting at this table out at this restaurant having a good time. But people were paying for that. But people love to see photos of themselves being out and meet out with their friends and that kind of thing.
Well, the reality is not everybody carries a camera around with them.
Mm-hmm.
So even though there's iPhones and BlackBerry cameras, but nobody takes pictures of themselves on a regular basis. So how cool is it when you show up to a party and somebody documents the party for you and you're involved in the picture? So yeah, it's great. You get documentation of all the events that you were at without actually having to take pictures.
So you got these events, and so people are having a good time. You're also using, looking around Facebook, you're using Facebook for an event that you have coming up, kind of an exclusive.
It's our fifth annual guest appreciation Christmas red carpet Christmas party, and we've done that for 5 years straight, and we close the business down, and it's invites only, and we do specials on alcohol, and we provide a buffet for everybody on us. And it's our chance, 2 times a year, we do one for our anniversary and one for Christmas. Mm-hmm. It's our chance to say thank you very much to the people that come into our restaurant on a regular basis.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Cool. So no strangers. I mean, you...
Yeah, this is not going out to... I'm not putting it in the commercial appeal. I'm not putting it on radio. This is strictly, I'm handing you an invite, or you're personally invited on Facebook.
Okay. So we go in Facebook, we go to... The fan page.
Go to the fan page, and you can print off the invite off the fan page and bring that with you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, have you tried that before?
Yes.
And
it works great.
Okay.
It works great. Because the reality is not everybody's going to have a chance to come by within a 2-week period prior to the event when I have the tickets. And I know they come on a regular basis. They're just not able to get there. So here's an opportunity to print it off on your own, and I'll see you on the 17th. So
right.
Yeah.
Sure. Any other little campaigns or special ways that you've used Facebook, for example?
I have driven parties or events at the restaurant strictly on Facebook. Phenomenal.
Hmm.
Better results than radio, newspaper, you name it, or personally, even handing out invites. That I've driven some incredible parties all off of Facebook.
Now, in the restaurant, are you letting people know that you're on Facebook and Twitter?
Yes, absolutely. We're on our table tents on the table. We talk about being social, and we've got our Twitter address and our Facebook address so people can sign on right there at the table if they've got a mobile app.
Oh, great.
Awesome.
Great. So is your Facebook address, is it facebook.com/KookieCanuck?
Kookie Canuck.
Okay.
That's correct.
Okay.
And then same thing on Twitter. It's Kookie. The Twitter handle is Kookie Canuck.
How do you spell Canuck? Just for
Canuck.
So many people look at social as and it is, we do here too, as this experiment. And nobody's got it figured out right now. It's still evolving, and mm-hmm. There's no end in sight, really. What kinds of things do you think are going to come along in 2010? There's with so much noise out there and so many different technologies. Is there anything come to mind when you start looking at next year and how you think that social landscape is going to change at all?
I think Twitter falls off a little bit, personally speaking. I think Twitter does. And Facebook continues to evolve and become, I'd like to see it a little bit more real time. So much of it's like the posts and doesn't hit till a little bit later on. But I'd like to see a little bit more now happening.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. It's funny about Twitter. Why do you think Twitter is going to, the volume is going to get turned down, or the attention to Twitter is going to wane a little bit?
I think people got really excited when they first joined on, and as people began following, and they got really excited about all these people following.
Mm-hmm.
But then over time, we've all come to learn that all these people following are really not paying very much attention.
Mm-hmm.
And so as you come to realize this, you go, well, geez, all those followers don't really matter, and the quality of this group that you've created is really not as great as you once thought it was. So people, me personally, has kind of tailed back. And so my thought process now is, all right, how do we create a better group? How do we filter through all these numbers, these many, many people, and how do we create a group that's of quality, similar to what Facebook is? Because Facebook, you're getting people that you know, and that people that know you, and trying to get that way with Twitter is where I think it needs to go.
We're seeing just a tremendous amount of noise out there right now. I think you and I were at a similar we were at an event And I remember one of the panelists, and I knew right away that when you about jumped out of your seat that, okay, you know, we can, you and I can connect. When the guy was talking about establishing his credibility and his expertise by just pointing links, posting links to all day to things in his industry to mm-hmm. elevate their expertise level. Plenty of people are listening to that type of advice, and they're just out there posting things and retweeting things like crazy.
Nonstop.
So much noise out there. You know, so unfortunately, that community, as business is paying attention to it, has kind of added so much more noise there.
Agreed.
And I know that's got to be a big challenge, you know, running, you know, such a public-facing business, to let folks know what's going on without
overwhelming them.
Without using that, yeah, overwhelming them, that megaphone, blasting them away. Because that's what happens, because they get blasted away.
Sure, it's just nonstop, and the majority of it is minutia.
Yeah. Any big takeaways that you have for us as far as, like I said, somebody's getting ready to dive into social media as a business that is a public-facing thing? Any words of wisdom that you want to share with us? Because
be yourself. Don't try and be too business-like. Keep it personal. Keep it to your heart. Do what you enjoy doing. If it's pictures, post pictures. If it's video, post video about yourself or something that's of interest to you. But keep it personal.
All right. Well, Sean, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks. Sean Danko of Cookie Canuck visited us earlier. And the way that we do that is our guests, we get them in here before the show, do their part so they can get back to their day. These are typically very busy people that we have in here.
Yeah.
So they can get back on with their day, and then we can sit in here and get crazy trying to record the rest of the show, which is what we're doing now. So with that, looking back on the local side of things, we have, you found some interesting stuff going on here.
Well,
in Memphis.
Our Memphis Tweeter of the Week.
Yeah.
We'd like to, you know.
That's interesting stuff.
Throw a little highlight. It's very interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
This week, it's Peabody Memphis, the Peabody Hotel. And I'm sure, if you know, you're listening to this, you're probably familiar with the Peabody Ducks, our very famous Memphis residents. This is, the Peabody is doing sort of the usual marketing type stuff through this account, but I just find that, you know, they're one of those Memphis entities mm-hmm. on my list that I really enjoy following. There's lots of posts about the ducks and, like, the duck mm-hmm. life and, you know, how the ducks are living and pictures of the ducks. And that's fun, you know, and it brings a real personality to the Peabody. And,
yeah.
you know, kind of makes me, like I said, makes me enjoy following them, which means that, you know, they're succeeding on that level because I'm seeing their message, you know, as a person who's in their sphere. I'm seeing those other messages that they're putting out as well because they're doing such a good job of keeping me engaged.
They're also pretty good about sharing photos from like major events and parties that they have there too.
Definitely. And
which
they,
is very cool.
Yeah, and they promote, you know, nightlife and stuff that's going on downtown too, and you know, other Memphis businesses, and so yeah, they're just doing a good job.
And this is not a duck. Unlike
Shelby
yes.
Farms, which
okay.
was a buffalo, mm-hmm. No, this is not actually a duck. You know, I think tweeting with the web feet might get really difficult. whereas the buffalo was able to kind of hoof it out. But the webbed feet would get a little tough.
Hoof it out, man. Hoof it out.
But anyway, yeah, no, it's a person.
And we know this person.
We do know this person.
Yeah, yeah. So on Twitter, that's at what?
It's Peabody Memphis on Twitter.
I was on Twitter last night, 1 o'clock in the morning. Okay, so that was this morning, 1 o'clock in the morning.
Technically.
And I got the fail well. Two things I didn't like. One is, why is the fail well coming on at 1:30 in the morning? And the second thing is, probably the more disturbing thing for me was they changed the colors of the fail well. The blue is now different. I don't know. I wish Twitter hadn't done that.
I have not noticed this. In what way is the blue different?
It doesn't clash with the orange as much. And there was such a clash before, it would mess with your eyes to the point where it looked like the one color was dancing on top of the other, you know, when you have that contrast?
Yes.
And so it was like, okay, it was like the farewell was a little visual treat, you know, just to watch that whole contrast there. But they changed the blue, and that contrast is now gone. So now it's no longer fun to look at the farewell. Cheap thrills, right? Well, here's something that we want to share with our listeners only. We aren't putting this anywhere else. Go to identica.ca. People call it Identica. So that's a I-D-E-N T-I.ca. It's a Twitter-like thing going on there.
It's like an open-source Twitter. The WordPress of Twitter.
It is. And there's a lot of folks kind of use that as a back channel. So when Twitter's acting up and whatnot, they'll go jump on Identica and start ranting about how Twitter's acting up, you know, and you know, still be able to connect with their friends. So that's okay. But the big thing is Google pays attention to Identica. So there's Google juice there. So go check that out. A little bit different, but very much the same as Twitter. Identica.ca. That's a good bit of information. We've actually used that here at LunaWeb for some search engine opportunities for some of our clients. Anyhow, so hey, what do we have coming up?
We have a couple of things coming up. Of course, Twilight Camp is coming up on December 16th. That'll be at Bronte Bistro, as usual, at Davis Kids. No real format there. Pretty casual. Just come out and get social. Talk about social media and whatever else pops into your brain.
We had a very interesting time last time. It was kind of like a revolving booth, like musical chairs, but on a booth. So some people couldn't be there the whole time. So it was just kind of some folks came and left. We talked a lot about podcasting and what we have there. Before that, this coming Monday is Memcast. The location is to be determined yet. And so if you are podcasting or you have an interest in creating a podcast or somehow be involved in that podcasting industry here in Memphis, check that out. Follow Memcast up on Twitter, and there'll be links in the show notes on this. We're just looking to have kind of an informal gathering of these folks so we can kind of get to know one each other and start actually doing things together to further the podcasting in Memphis. So...
outstanding. And you know, with you know, in line with that, of course, our podcasts that are coming up this Friday and next are the Core Conversation, which we talked about, so definitely want to tune into that, and more information is available about that at socialexpedition.com.
Outstanding. Well, hey, thanks so much. This has been a great show. Really enjoyed it. Number 10.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. Your hosts are Dave Barger, Elizabeth K. Wine, and Matthew Crawford Trissler, who edits the podcast. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.
All I know is, where's my hover car? If it gets to be 2011 and I am not in a hover car, then someone has some explaining to do.
I'm sorry, I'll bring it back to you tonight.
I was promised a hover car.